Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Right, we're recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to, oh, I thought about this earlier, three Jersey girls in a row.
Oh,
rose.
My God, yes. We're together. We'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And welcome to the Love is Blind after show yet again. Woo! Mm-hmm. Today we will be joined by, yes, a fellow Jersey girl,
mm-hmm,
and a very special guest. Her name is Vienna Farron. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist, one of New York City's most sought-after relationship therapists. She is a leading voice in discussing breaking patterns and teaching folks to understand how your childhood impacts your adult behaviors and how you can reprogram yourself into having healthier relationships. She is the author of the best-selling book, The Origin of You. She runs a very, very popular Instagram account that, mm-hmm, some of y'all probably follow called Mindful, mm-hmm, MFT. Which stands for Marriage Family Therapist.
Yes, not motherfucker.
Which is not motherfucker, nope. Marriage and Family Therapy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes, very popular Instagram account giving daily gems on breaking patterns, how to thrive in your relationships. Vienna's work on examining your childhood to break free of patterns makes her the perfect person to discuss what is going on with dear AD and Clay, as well as Chelsea and Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Clay and Chelsea in those two
kind
of relationships.
Yeah.
Clearly a lot of childhood family past stuff that, mm-hmm, is showing up, and that's what we're watching. So we are super excited to have Vienna join us today, and we are going to learn a lot. I'm so positive of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before we dive in with Vienna, firstly, Justine and I both missed Potomac.
Yeah.
We lost at Potomac yesterday. So we'll have to catch up in a future episode this week.
Mm-hmm.
Before we dive into Vienna, there's a couple things we got to chat about.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple. Mm-hmm. Traitors. Definitely got to talk about the recent Traitors episode. Lord, mm-hmm, Jesus. Bravo. There is a lot of stuff happening in the Bravo sphere.
Vanderpump. They want those viewers back.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yep.
There's a Raquel lawsuit, Leah, Sue and Andy, Jackson, mm-hmm, Brittany, Lala. I want to tell you about Carl and Lindsay on Summer House is back, mm-hmm, and this recent episode was nuts.
Mm.
So we'll talk about that.
Oh boy.
I also recently saw Dune 2, which I know you would never see, but I want to tell you all about it.
I'm so excited to hear because I'll never know. So it wasn't for this pre-show.
Exactly. And you said you have some updates on Risha Tisha.
More updates on my favorite TikToker, Risha Tisha.
Oh my God.
Love
this
her.
Saga, this life saga that Love never her. Ends.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, want to listen to this episode ad-free with our juicy pre-show? Join the Rose Garden over at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose. You can also watch us on video.
Mm-hmm.
You can also join us for Two Black Girls Watch, which is our weekly reaction video that goes out. We are currently watching Millionaire Matchmaker. Try out a Patreon membership with a 7-day free trial. And shout out to the Rose Garden.
Love you.
Beautiful community. We love you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, we are so excited to welcome to our Love is Blind after show, Vienna Farron. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and one of New York City's most sought after relationship therapists in practice for over 15 years. She is a preeminent voice in teaching folks how breaking free of family patterns can liberate the way you live and love. She is the author of the best-selling book, The Origin of You, an amazing book. A guide, if you will, to help readers understand the frameworks we were raised with that manifest in our adult behaviors and how we can actually rewire our programming to meaningfully improve how we show up in relationships. So, of course, y'all know we have questions upon questions for Vienna about Miss Chelsea and Mr. Clay in particular. Vienna is also a fellow podcaster with her show, This Keeps Happening, where she speaks with anonymous people every week about the challenges they're facing. And of course, she also happens to be a big Love is Blind fan, here to help us break down what's going on with these couples in episodes 10 through 11. Please welcome to the show, Vienna Farron.
That was a lovely intro. I feel like we should be sending copies of the book to the cast after this.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it should be a reading before you get on the cast.
Required reading. Absolutely.
Require the prerequisites that we recommend.
Yeah. So true. Yeah.
So speaking of, what is your relationship to Love is Blind, the franchise? Have you watched every season? Is this your first season?
Yep, I've watched every season.
Wow, okay.
I've even brought my husband in every once in a while. He hasn't watched any season.
Okay.
You know, he's like, I can't do it. But then I see him out of the corner of my eye every once in a while, like peeking over from the kitchen.
Yep.
There was one time with The Bachelor. He was like, this is awful. I can't. And I was watching him. This is when we were living in the city. Mm-hmm. His desk was facing a window and the TV, I'm over by the sofa, on the sofa watching. And he's looking into the
window.
Reflection of the window watching. And I'm like, you're so busted right now. So, you know, he likes it a little bit, but I've watched all of the season. So I'm caught up and excited to chat about this. I was saying to Natasha before, I've never had a chance to have a conversation about sort of a pop culture moment. So I'm excited to chat about relationships within this context. Yes.
Oh, you're in the right place.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
That's one of the things we do, a specialty that we do here. We have a friend who has a book podcast who comes on here just to talk shit about The Bachelor because she always has to talk about academic stuff on her pod.
Yeah, it like tickles something that we all need, right? You're okay, I got to get this out. So
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so you mentioned that you watch the show sometimes with your husband, but usually what's your watching ritual? Are you watching by yourself?
Yes.
Are you therapizing each contestant as you're watching?
A little bit, but not as much as you might imagine. Mm-hmm. I definitely watch it as just someone who's being entertained. I do watch because I am curious, obviously, about relationship dynamics. And I'm like, who's getting together and what wound is playing out here and what, you know, what's happening. But I definitely watch it for the entertainment value. But I got my therapist hat on today to break it down and, see what we come up with. But I think I straddle that line nicely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Okay. What are your other favorite dating reality shows? You mentioned The Bachelor. So do you have any others?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette over the years. I'm guilty of Love Island every once in a while.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Nice. Let the brain cells fry up.
Let the brain cells just do it. Because they're disintegrate all the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's fun. What was the spinoff? From Love is Blind, where they trade partners. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, from Love is Blind?
Where
they trade partners?
It's a spinoff from Love is Blind, but one person
the ultimatum.
The ultimatum.
Oh, the ultimatum.
Yeah, right?
One person wants to get engaged or married, the other one's unsure, and then they go in and they choose another partner, somebody else's partner in the space. Mm-hmm. So I think I've only watched one season of that.
Okay. The queer season is really good. I don't know if that's the season you want.
It's
the best one.
All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So let's dive in to Love is Blind 10 and 11. I want to start with Jimmy and Chelsea.
Okay.
So in episode 10, we see them have one of their worst fights yet. Jimmy just introduced Chelsea to his family, and swiftly afterwards, Chelsea picks a fight about him going out with his friends, which eventually spirals into her revealing his past sexual relationship with one of his girlfriends. Then she lies about him being at the bar with Jessica. Then she accuses him of not being in love with her. And then the next day, during their makeup conversation, Chelsea tells Jimmy that she loves him more now than before, mm-hmm. as if he's like finally proved something to her. Mm-hmm. This keeps happening with Jessica just when things seem to be going really well, like clockwork. It's like her insecurities come and just destroy everything. Yeah. What exactly and why is Chelsea doing this? Is this what you call self-sabotage? Like, what are we watching?
Yeah, and, you know, it's fair to name this from the get-go that obviously we don't get everything that is mm-hmm. filmed and taped. We get a curated mm-hmm. Piece of entertainment. So I'll hold mm-hmm. that. I'll name that right up front mm-hmm. just so everyone who's listening knows that we are aware that we're missing details and all sure. of that. But based on the things that we're watching, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would call this sabotage. And I don't have the framework that I have when it comes to sabotage is that it's self-protective. All of our behaviors, no matter how wild that behavior might be, or no matter how dysfunctional it presents, is that our behaviors are trying to protect us mm-hmm. from something, even if it's going to destroy the relationship or push other people away. And mm-hmm. I think that's important for all of us to recognize, right, is that there's something self-serving here that mm-hmm. Chelsea might not know about or might not fully understand, but mm-hmm. she is doing something that's pushing someone away, even though we would probably argue that she doesn't want him to move far away, that she right. wants to be with this person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times when I see self-sabotage behavior come up, I think there's a layer of not feeling super worthy of this dynamic, of this relationship, of this man. I don't know if she puts Jimmy on a little bit of a pedestal, or if she, knowing obviously who the other connection was for Jimmy, mm-hmm. right? If there is a part of that insecurity right. that really mm-hmm. is presenting mm-hmm. and is saying like, I don't deserve to be with this person. Maybe mm-hmm. I think this other woman is a better fit, or maybe mm-hmm. it's even that he would want her more than he wants me. These might all be mm-hmm. stories that she's making up because right. he's, you know, in many we see it many times over is that he is actually confirming like, no, I choose you. I want to be with you. I love you. It doesn't matter. I've seen a photo. Now I've met this person. Mm-hmm. I'm still in it with you. And that confidence boost is not, you know, obviously enough for her, right? The insecurity mm-hmm. is a little bit larger than that. So mm-hmm. for me, a lot of times like a sabotage mechanism, again, protecting us from something, but is often because like I don't feel deserving or worthy of this person. And so mm-hmm. I'm going to do something to damage it, impact it, rupture it. And so like ultimately we kind of get the outcome before the other person maybe leaves or, you know, ends the relationship before we do. You know, that's a version of what could play out here. But we know that mm-hmm. she has a lot of insecurity and, mm-hmm. you know, it's on full display here, which is tough. It's tender. It's hard to watch. Mm-hmm. But she, yeah, there's just this cycle over and over and over again. It's like when things are good, like you said, Natasha, right? She finds an opening, right? Something mm-hmm. to, yeah, cause a rupture and cause a fight, even when it doesn't seem like there's really anything there to fight about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my favorite things that you said in your book, which I hope if you don't want this in, we can cut this out. But one of my favorite things that you said in the book is that attachment beats authenticity mm-hmm. because attachment is more important as a human being than authenticity right. is. Right. And I think that's what we're watching with both Clay and Chelsea, but let's talk specifically about Chelsea. Mm-hmm. She's consistently making up scenarios where Jimmy could be unfaithful to her. Mm-hmm. And just the threat of it alone has her like spiraling down a hill.
Yeah.
Same with Clay, right? Mm-hmm. Clay is making up scenarios where he is going to cheat on AD mm-hmm. and is consistently warning her. But talking specifically with Chelsea, specifically with Chelsea talking about Jessica at the bar that literally never happened.
Right.
And then revealing that Jimmy had a sexual relationship with one of his friends, that he did not love her as much as he said. And when they met the family, all of these really seem like betrayals of their relationship, especially because they're on camera.
Yes.
Mm. How is Jimmy as a partner supposed to kind of move on from those betrayals, especially because her behavior is acting out the way it is and because she's not self-aware at the moment?
Well, right. There is a line that's being crossed, and it was good to see him actually, like, the backbone came out for a moment, right? Where he was like, ask me the question directly. And like, no, the answer is no, you know, and you could feel him actually sort of in this like strength, in this power. And then he kind of wobbles and he sort of fumbles and kind of goes back to the status quo that they have going on there. But right, like there are significant betrayals, and you know what he shared with her in confidence, which I'm sure was off camera, or I think she even said that. You know, there's a rupture in trust, right? Is that I'm opening up my history to you, which we do as couples, right? We have histories. We share those things when somebody's asking about them, or we feel like it's appropriate, or it's part of the expansion, or you know, or just it's important for the relationship to understand. And to out him, you know, in that way. And listen, the show also chose to put it out there as well, right?
Yeah.
So, they play into that a bit, but you know, it still shows what the dynamic is, which is important for us to see. In the same way that anybody has to come back from any betrayal. But I think what's hard about this is that it's so early in the relationship, and there's so much consistency with betrayals happening over and over and over again. You know, obviously there's a spectrum when it comes to betrayal, right? When it comes to the rupture of trust. And, you know, we'll all disappoint someone. We'll all let people down, right? We're bound to experience that in relationship at some point. And listen, even when they are significant ruptures, a lot of people are able to move through that, come back stronger afterwards. I have the honor of getting to, you know, walk alongside people who do that day in and day out. But I think what maybe feels like a little bit of an alarm is how many ruptures of trust keep happening in such a short amount of time.
Right.
It's like letting us know that this is kind of what you're choosing and signing up for. And you want to feel respected and honored as a partner, as a human being in a relationship, where if I share something with you that is meant to communicate something to, I mean, my assumption is that he's sharing that to say, hey, I want you to know this. I don't want you to feel awkward, embarrassed, whatever. Like, I want you to be in the know so that there isn't a secret that's being withheld from you, because that's a betrayal in and of itself. And so I'm coming forward to share something about my past, something about my history that is relevant for us right now. And that's the expectation, is that, you know, sure, it might bring up some emotion for someone. I think lots of people would be like, oh, like, okay, you hang out with her a lot. Like what's the relationship now? Like, how do we actually feel safe in this place? Okay, that's a different conversation. But, you know, how do we come back from this? You know, it's the repair of trust. And, you know, that's where people have to ask themselves, like, is this a pattern that I'm willing to enter into at this stage of the relationship, versus we've been together for 10, 15 years and like we have a rupture in trust once, twice, you know what I mean? We're like, well, we're like, okay, like we could work through this. This is okay. So, but he's permitting it. You know, Justine, like, like he permits it, and there is a piece that's missing within him, right? Where, like, when she comes back into the house the next day, you know, and she's said what you had said, like, I love you more now. You know, and he's like, okay, like there's a part of him that also really wants to be loved and chosen, you know, sort of at the expense of his own boundaries and him and himself, really. And he does allow and permit a lot of this behavior without there actually being consequences that follow through. There's like a mini consequence in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And then there's sort of nothing that happens afterwards. And then they're like, we love each other. And like, I have never been more in love with you. And you're like, huh, okay, like maybe we missed something, but how do we get from here to there?
Yeah. And it's not like Jimmy is, I mean, Chelsea is obviously acting out every episode, but I think Jimmy with the AD comment over the honeymoon, I think for Chelsea, that was a betrayal. He said that in public, that he said that about one of her friends. Like, I think for her, she was betrayed first.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really did it for her. And I think she was going to wait until she got betrayed first and then was forever going to say, it's, you know, you did this in front of me and et cetera, et cetera.
And it really poked, I think, probably at an insecurity of hers, right? Because it was about somebody else's physical appearance.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was, it seems like the comparison that Chelsea, you know, experiences, right? Like really cuts deep for her. Right.
Yeah.
So that was, that hit a raw spot for her.
So it sounds like with so many betrayals and ruptures of trust so early on, they really have their work cut out for them to actually make this work. And there's a lot of kind of having to just like move past that they have to do, because it's such a short period of time as well. So it's not like they have weeks upon weeks to work through it. They kind of just have to like accept, move on. But each time they move on, they hit another rupture.
Well, but that's the thing with patterns, right? It's like, I always say that when people ask me like, when is it okay to give somebody a second, third chance, you know? And it's like patterns without changed behavior, or second chances without changed behaviors are just patterns. And it's, you know, we're not seeing this. I don't know if these conversations are happening, but it's like, What did we just learn from what went down? You know what I mean? Like, we can't just have something go down and then you're like, but I love you so much. Like, let's keep going. You know, it's like, what happened, right? Like, what part of myself got activated here? Mm-hmm. What's that tied to? Let me tell you a bit about what it was like for me as a kid, not feeling chosen by my parent, and why there's this part of me that feels the need to confirm that you're choosing me over and over and over. They're not having those conversations, at least from what we can see, right? And like, to me, that's what's so important about relationships. God, we have ruptures all the time, right? Like, stuff happens, stuff pulls at relationships. It's not expected to be this walk in the park. They're making a really big decision in a short amount of time, but it's still so important when we have a rupture in a relationship that we are able to come back after that rupture and not just say, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Oh my gosh, I'm embarrassed, but I love you so much. Let's get back together. It's like, okay, I really sat with what went down, and here's what I understand about why I provoke or why I push or why I try to sabotage, because here's what you should know about what it was like for me growing up, or here's what you need to understand about former relationships in my life. And I'm seeing that this part that is destructive in relationships is presenting in our relationship. And here's what I'm trying to resolve, or here's what I'm trying to heal. Because again, if we're just like, okay, I'm so sorry, rupture, rupture, rupture. Okay, right. I'm so sorry. Like, we are just on the merry-go-round together. And that's all of us. This is not just Chelsea and Jimmy. Right? Yeah. This is all of us. Yep. If we don't take a step back to say, okay, this behavior does make sense in context. It always does. We as humans make sense in context, but we are missing the context for them. We don't understand. We're just observers like, this does not look good. And it doesn't seem like they have the context either. And without that, it's very hard to actually get to a different outcome and a different ending.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, essentially, I mean, Jimmy and Chelsea are strangers. I mean, they can, you know, they're in love, blah, 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 but like, they really don't know each other. We're watching it happen in real time as they also prepare for a marriage. Like, so yeah, a lot of context.
But that's the, you know, it's like to know oneself, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're right. Too. They don't know each other that well, of course, but do they know themselves well, right? Mm-hmm. And like that, I think is there's a question mark, which maybe they're on a journey of, you know, learning that while watching themselves back on television, which I'm sure is so hard to do.
I would die.
But, you know, that's what's so important. When we enter into relationships, we have got to understand something. Right, about ourselves, about how we operate, about what the irresolution from our past is, or what it is that we've actually resolved. And I don't know that they came into this with that understanding.
What's the most important thing we should have understood before we go into relationships, especially 30-day ones?
Right. Well, lots of pressure. You know, for me, it's really the exploration, like self and relational awareness. Such important keys to successful relationships, but it's like, what's unresolved in my own life, right? Like where am I the most reactive and with whom, right? That's the neon sign. It's going to point us like, what are the things that make me reactive? What are the things that make me blow something out of proportion? Like, where is there discrepancy in my life? I could give advice, but I can't take it. Oh, okay. Like all of that points us to irresolution from our past. And that's so important for people to have like some, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be entirely healed before you get to enter into relationships. Like that's not the expectation, but you should have an understanding of, listen, I believe in all different forms and modalities of therapy. I think there's no one model that fits all. I think there's as many different models as there are human beings on this planet. And yet if you don't understand the family system you grew up in and how the things that played out or what you observed are still running your life today, your choices, your patterns, your behaviors, how you show up in conflict, the sabotage mechanisms that you might deploy, like those are the things that we really have to understand because our past does impact our present and our future if it's unresolved. Right. And pain will find lots of clever ways to bring us back into patterns over and over and over again. Right. And so the irresolution of our pain is so important for each of us to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well said. Is there anything Jimmy could do to help Chelsea feel more secure? Or is this simply a Chelsea issue?
I think that this is a Chelsea thing. I think Jimmy has displayed a lot of verbal and physical to a certain extent. Like he comes over, like he's actually quite good at like coming over, noticing when she needs a hug, a kiss, right? Some type of physical attention. But he verbally is very supportive of her and repeats and says things quite a bit, at least from what we can see. I think that this is more of a Chelsea thing, right? Of actually believing and accepting that she is being chosen and loved. There, to me, the asterisk, the star is she doesn't believe in her worth and her value, right? There's a worthiness piece there that is missing for her. And it doesn't matter how many times a person, who it is, the way that they display it, like it's not getting in until she believes it herself, until she permits it, right? It's like you could hear people tell you over and over and over again, you are worthy. But if you don't actually believe it because there's a resolution around a worthiness wound, you're going to find lots of different ways to reject it and block it. So no, I don't really think that he's doing a lot and it's not working. It's not penetrating. Right. And so I wouldn't say that there's more for him to do. Maybe asking like, what keeps you from believing what I'm saying? You know, it's like, I think sometimes poking our partners to be like, hey, I'm noticing that it's really hard for you to accept what I'm sharing with you. And I'd like to understand more about what keeps you from being able to receive this and actually believe it. Tell me about your story with receiving love and accepting it. What was it like for you growing up? Did you receive love or was love conditional or was love absent, right? It's like there's a curiosity that we need to have in relationships to start to excavate and understand what's blocking people from accepting, receiving things like this.
Yeah, that sounds like exactly the conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah,
I wonder if Jimmy or how many men in particular, but just people in general feel even confident facilitating a conversation like that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're, you know, when this is not language that you're used to using. Yeah. And it's like, I know it's like more therapy talk, obviously, but maybe they need to have a therapist on the show for the after the pods. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, maybe name Dr. Vienna, maybe. Nice.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. We're just like sliding that in, dropping
right.
it.
Yeah. Throw that in there.
But you're right, Natasha. It's like these are conversations when you're not used to having them, right? It's like, okay, yeah. it's like it feels a little bit foreign. Yeah. But I think that's our goal, though, is to get people comfortable with asking those questions, like that this is actually. This is normal and healthy and doesn't need to be so out there, right? Because the other conversations are not leading us very far.
Right.
I love how you really talk about wounds in the same way that people talk about self-love. People are really obsessed with this idea of like, you have to love yourself before you get into a relationship. But you saying that you have to know yourself before you get into a relationship, right? Know how... I'm going to fight if you do this, right? It's more important than like a post-it note saying that you love yourself in the morning. Like,
Yeah, it only goes so far. It's true. It really is true. And especially when you, if you don't believe it, like you could look in the mirror as many times as you want and say the affirmation over and over and over again. But if you're still blocking that, you know, you don't need... Listen, I think there's probably a level of liking yourself that's good for getting into a relationship. Yeah. But like being like, I love myself so much. Like I think that that's limiting for so many people because I think sometimes there's something so powerful about actually being in relationship and having someone love us through hard moments that actually is this like feedback loop that allows us to love ourselves even more through the other person's observation and lens through which they see us. I've definitely had that experience before where I've with my partner where I'm like, wow, like this part of me that I judge, you know, this part of me that I don't like, you're able to still hold with gentleness and compassion and grace and care. And it doesn't mean that that part gets to just like do her thing and whatever she could do, you know, but that you love me enough to hold space for me to figure out this part and navigate it differently. Like that's inspiring to me, right? That's here's a partner who loves you and holds you and has got you, but you got to do your work now to figure that out, right? Yeah. So I think that love is, yes, I got to work on some stuff for myself. And also we gain so much through loving partnership too.
Yeah. So let's talk about AD and Clay.
Okay.
So Clay, as we all know, watched his dad cheat on his mom over the course of their 25-year marriage. His dad involved him in the infidelities by taking him on the trips to go see these other women. And as an adult, we're now seeing Clay plagued with his own fear of infidelity and kind of trying to repeat this pattern, maybe so that he's not to blame for it. We're not really sure like what his goal is of trying to tell this lady that he's going to cheat on her. After the cameras are off. Wait, did you have something to say?
Well, I was just going to say, I really appreciate Clay's awareness of his story. It's kind of speaking, you know, like we were just speaking to that, right? It's like Clay actually does come with, here's my story. Here's what I saw. Here's what I experienced. And it scares me, right? It's like, so I really appreciate that he verbalizes it. He communicates about it quite a bit. We could, maybe people have opinions about that, but I do appreciate that Clay has this deep awareness. And I feel for little Clay so much, right? It's like, you know, when you hear people share their story and what they went through, right? It's like, we can see them as a tiny little human, right? Who was going on these trips, who was watching something go down, who was a part of a betrayal and who I don't know if he had to hold the secret or, you know, sort of how that, I don't remember if he shared those details, but he's got this beautiful awareness of how his history is dictating his present right now. So he's actually a great example of what we were just talking about.
Definitely. I think it's interesting for us to watch too, as Black viewers, the Black couple be the most emotionally vulnerable on the season. We have also both sets of parents being incredibly vulnerable this season, which I think is a magical thing to watch as a Black viewer, really. I think it's really, really incredible. However, it's really taking a toll on AD, and we're very accustomed to a toll being taken on Black women, yeah. right? Especially on love shows. Sure. So it's Clay is irking our nerves at the same time. He knows himself, and that's so great. It's really irking our nerves that he is displaying how much he wants to cheat on this woman who's seemingly exactly what he wants. And in your book, The Origins of You, you talk about repeating childhood patterns in our relationships. Even the first example of the first story that you give is so similar to who Clay is, which I love that it's like the opening. It's like chapter three. It's like Clay and AD. And we see that Clay wants to be a husband, but he's having a hard time defining how he actually wants to be a husband, but he has a very clear definition about how to not be a husband.
Right.
And that is all due to his family of origin. How does he make a new positive path for himself in wanting to be the husband who he desires versus exactly who he doesn't want to become?
Yeah, he is so afraid. Clay is so afraid. Yeah. He's so afraid. And I don't even know if there's the part that's like, I'm going to cheat or I want to cheat. It's just like, he is so afraid of not being in charge of a part of him that he believes exists inside of him because his dad had it, right? And he's afraid of it. He is not in leadership with it. I know, you know, because AD obviously keeps talking about like wanting to be led by him and really wanting to, you know, surrender over to him, and how, you know, her mom was like, I've never heard her say this before, right? Like, she's really surrendering. But Clay is so afraid of there being this part that could do to someone that he loves, that he cares deeply about, in the way that his father did that to his mother. Mm-hmm. And so what it reveals is that he doesn't trust himself, right? Mm-hmm. Clay is having such a hard time trusting himself. Yeah. And he's, you know, I think in his own way, right, there's this part of him that's like over communicating and being like, I don't know, you know, I can't trust myself. I don't know how to trust myself. And I'm letting you know ahead of time so that I like, so that we're sort of like in conversation about this, you know, and sometimes people, you know, Clay might have lots of thoughts about his dad's behavior, and he might have lots of feelings, experiences about what it was like to be a kid who had to go along with his father and, you know, sort of participate in this to some degree. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what we see is that people who couldn't fathom what a parent was doing, who then find themselves doing the same thing that the parent was doing, is their way of trying to understand them.
And so,
because it's like there's this part that judges the behavior. This is something I've seen. I'm not suggesting that this is what's true for Clay. I'm just naming something that I've seen before, where it's like, I hated you for doing this thing. I don't understand how you could do this thing to mom. Like, you're terrible. I hate you. Yada, yada, yada. Right. And then we find people who are then behaving in similar ways. And through therapy conversation, right, it's like the what is one thing that can get revealed is that it's actually their attempt of trying to understand the parent that they hated, or the parent that they judged, or the parent that they didn't respect. Because, you know, all of us know that there's a lot of different ways and reasons that infidelity can, you know, come to fruition. And it's not always because someone's just a asshole, you know, it's like, right. It's like, it's not always just that simple. Yeah. And so sometimes people are on this quest to understanding, you know, it's not a conscious thing that they're doing. Right. But they're on this quest to actually try to understand something that played out earlier in their lives. So, you know, it's just, again, from my point of view, right, it's like there's a curiosity, right, of like, ooh, like what you're, you know, clearly he's so afraid. He does, I don't think he wants to betray her. He is just so afraid of betraying her and not being in charge.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Of him, his own self, because he could see that his dad was not in charge of himself, right? His dad could not like get it, reel it in, right? Like, you know, be, especially when it's something that is happening and reoccurring over time, right? I think, again, sort of the spectrum of, you know, if we have one time affair and there is a rupture there versus something that's, you know, getting reenacted over and over again over a long period of time, right? It's like this part was, was like loose and wild, right? And that's the part that he doesn't know how to tame. And so, again, I think there's just this part of him that's bringing it forward saying, I don't know how to lead this part of myself. I don't know if I know how to tame this part that exists inside of me. I know it exists inside of me, and I am afraid that it is bigger than I am, that I am not bigger than it.
Okay.
So he really has to just start with confronting this behavior.
And it's also, again, for me, if I was working with him, I would want, we would have to confront what is unresolved around his dad's infidelity. Because I think it's probably like it's the storyline, but has the storyline ever been fully grieved? Has the has he ever actually felt and experienced what he needs to feel and experience? Has he been able to resolve that so that it's not running rampant in his own life, right? And so again, it's the like, there's an irresolution. It's driving his life for him right now. It's driving his life for him. And, you know, we don't, I don't think we know this, like what the resolution is for his father, his mother, you know, we don't.
We don't know that yet.
We don't have those details, but. My assumption is that there probably wasn't a whole lot of resolution, which is a part of why he's so unresolved around
it.
Yeah, you can get that sense for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because AD's mom, bless her, I mean, she was just dropping wisdom all over the place, you know, right? But, you know, she's like, she's trying to tell him and AD, right, that like you can't be owned by their stuff. Now, it's true. And also he still has to go through the work to not be owned by it, right? The sermon is not enough. You know what I mean? Like we can all preach something and it's right and it lands and it's true, but he still has to walk the path, you know? And he I don't know that he has just yet.
We were having the same sentiments about AD's mom, like, you know, coming in, dropping some wisdom, but a lot of it sounded a lot easier said than done. And it's still like, this is still a lot of work for Clay to like parse through before he can just relieve himself of his parents' trauma.
Yes, that's perfectly said, right? It's like, it's beautiful what the sentiment is, really beautiful. And I think she's earned a lot of wisdom over her years. And also, you know, I know AD and Clay obviously are adults, but like her speaking to the children, right? Is like, they still have to walk the walk, right? They still have to earn the resolution. And yeah, Clay has a journey ahead of him that he has to face and confront. But I actually think he really loves AD, and this woman is making him want to, I believe.
Right.
Like, yeah. He's like, I yeah. know I'm going to screw this up. Right. And I, but you are like, yeah. you are, I don't want to screw it up to. With you, but yeah. I don't know how not to. I'm not yeah. confident enough yeah. in myself.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of confidence, so AD, she seems so confident about their relationship, right?
Yeah.
While Clay, as you just said, from our point of view, he seems completely doubtful. He's uncertain about his own ability to remain faithful and to show up as the husband he wants to. And in episode 10, we see Clay express explicitly to AD that he doesn't feel confident in a marriage.
Yeah.
And flat out asks AD to lead them, right? Mm-hmm. And AD mentions, she mentions something about, you know, you're going to have to walk by faith, not by sight into this marriage, seemingly acknowledging that there is a level of uncertainty that they're facing. Mm-hmm. Walking into a marriage with a level of uncertainty feels a bit dangerous. You know, we talk a lot about you have to be 1,000% sure, you know, who you're going to marry is one of the biggest decisions of your life. You got to get it right. But we're also all human, right? So it's natural to feel uncertain or some level of doubt. But I guess my question is, what level of uncertainty is okay going into a marriage? Like, can you fake it till you make it to an extent? Because it seems like that's what AD's asking them to do. Like, we got to fake it till we make it. We got to walk by faith and then we'll figure it out, Clay. And it's like, is that, like, that sounds very dangerous and like a slippery yeah. slope.
Listen, we've certainly seen lots of couples, you know, you ever hear stories mm-hmm. where people are like, we got married after 2 weeks of, you know, and you're like, okay, yeah. you know, right. It's like yeah, some people yeah. figure it out. Some people don't, right? Like, yeah. you know, sometimes you can walk that path and sometimes you can't. I think AD is like, she really wants the outcome.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And she's very committed to the outcome. Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, I think there's something so beautiful about faith. Absolutely. And also, we just want to make sure that we're not using that language to bypass what's actually in front of us, you know, where it's like, what actually needs to be addressed here, as mm-hmm. opposed to just like, faith is such a beautiful thing. And obviously, it's one of the things that empowers and stabilizes so many folks, right? When they can just trust in something bigger, mm-hmm. higher than, you know, what the situation is right now. Mm-hmm. But I also think the situation right now is something that actually needs addressing. It doesn't need handing over to
the powers that be,
yeah. right? It's like, I think so what I want to say though about AD, I really like them a lot. They actually might be my favorite couple of the show, not because I think they're the most successful, mm-hmm. but I think they're very real and I appreciate mm-hmm. what they're displaying to everyone, mm-hmm. Because they're like showing what it is to work through some yeah. stuff. So yeah. I really, really like them. But Clay is saying, hey, alarm, alarm, alarm. And AD is like, I'm good. It's going to be fine. We're good. I'm good. Like, I feel confident. And he's mm-hmm. saying, I don't feel confident. And she keeps saying, but I do feel confident. Mm. And it's important for us to, I think, unpack this one a little bit, because sometimes in these moments, because I know I was once in a relationship like this where the guy was telling me something that I didn't feel, but he mm-hmm. felt. And I mm-hmm. kept saying, it's not a problem for me. And he was like, but it's a problem for me. And I was not hearing that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something very important that when a partner is saying, alarm, 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 and you're like, I just want this relationship to work, or I'm actually good, or there's no alarm here for me, or I'm feeling really confident about us, that's not the invitation to ignore what the person is saying. I'm not suggesting that AD is ignoring what Clay is saying, but I think there's something that's being missed where she mm-hmm. could actually inquire, like open that mm-hmm. up, yeah. actually inquire. Don't go, you're not good. Everything's going to be okay. You got to go faith. Like, move into the space of like, okay, tell me more about yeah. this part. Mm-hmm. Why don't you trust it? Right. It's like, I think there's a space to actually open mm-hmm. a dialogue and a conversation that brings us into these parts of ourselves that we don't feel confident with. Right. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know if that's what Clay means by like, I need you to lead right now. Mm-hmm. Like, will you help lead me to a place that I don't know how to go to on my own? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what he means, right. But I think that if that is what he means, that's a beautiful invitation. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I don't know how to do this. I love you. I don't want to screw this up. Do you have any insights that can help lead me to the place that I need to go so that I can build up my confidence around this part? As opposed to, great, you feel confident. That feels crappy mm-hmm. to someone when yeah. they're struggling. You know, yeah. it's like, yeah. cool, you feel confident, but I don't, you I know, it's like, I'm struggling over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a sob story for Clay at all, but it's like, yeah, Clay is struggling and he's really clear about it. And I know sometimes when we're the viewer, we're like, get it together, Clay, like, come, you know, but it's like, mm-hmm. no, he's just being honest, right? It's like, he is actually being honest about where he is struggling with mm-hmm. himself and in the relationship, and he is sharing it. And I would, if they had a therapist on the show, right, would be like be facilitating those conversations, yeah. mm-hmm. right, to actually deepen and strengthen, because then maybe we can let faith lead a little bit. Because if we're starting mm-hmm. to have true, honest, real conversations that are having us address and confront these parts of ourselves, mm-hmm. then, okay, maybe we can enter into something without things being perfectly put in a box and placed and the ribbon on top and we're good to go and we don't ever have to address this again. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with things being a little bit messy if mm-hmm. we are talking about them, we're deeply aware of yeah. them, mm-hmm. we are working through them. So right. that's, there's a little bit of that missing. Yeah. And I can definitely relate to AD where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, but I just want us to get to this place. Right. Yeah. And so like we just have to believe, you know, mm-hmm. we just have to have faith in it. And I think Clay is, you know, there's a little bit of a cry for help there. Mm-hmm. And he's like, mm-hmm. I can't just do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In AD's kind of like quest for leadership and mm-hmm. and not in this invalidation of Clay's story and his feelings. I don't want to say that she's doing that, but mm-hmm. She really wants a very like traditional heterosexual like setup, right? Yeah. And a lot of women like AD are looking for that, which I think is perfectly fine. We think yeah. is perfectly fine. But when AD is kind of becoming the emotional leader at this point and the mental leader at this point, it seems like a recipe for resentment down the line. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this happen before with some of your marriage clients where somebody has to lead, right? And so it kind of like falls on the woman who really wants it. Mm-hmm. But does it create resentment later on?
It can, certainly. And I think leadership is something that has to equal out in different areas over time, right? Like you don't just have mm-hmm. one person who is leading everything all the time, right? It's like we have two people in a dynamic who sort of take turns with leadership mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. all of the different pillars of a relationship. And there might be certain pillars where one person is always leading this and one person is always leading that. But I think that, yeah, when the scale starts to tip too far in one direction, yeah, absolutely. There's not only is there an opportunity for there to be resentment, it is something that atrophies the muscle for the other person in being able to develop that skill set, mm-hmm. right? Of like, ooh, how to bring emotional conversations forward. Or if I rely on you to do that all the time, then I have no clue how to name something or bring it forward because you're leading in that area, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. Yes, there it's definitely a recipe for resentment down the road. Mm-hmm. I think that Clay, in its wildest way, and bear with me because you might be like, what? But I think that he's trying to protect her from him.
Mm. That's a really nice way to put it.
I know. That's what we do as therapists.
Yeah, you know, that's
right.
True.
I could see right. That, but it's true. Like I yeah. think because he doesn't trust himself. Yeah. Right, because, you know, yeah. it's like there is a part, and people do this, right? It's yeah. like I actually am going to protect you from me mm-hmm. by whatever, ending this relationship, saying no at the altar. Obviously, we'll see what happens, but I would be very surprised if he said yes. But yeah, I think there is a part of him that's like, you need protection from me. Mm-hmm. I am not safe for you. Not because Clay is a bad guy, you know, not that, right? But just like, I'm not safe for you, for what you deserve, for where you are at, for any of that, right? And so I do really think that Clay is trying to protect her from him.
Do you think AD should listen?
Yes.
He doesn't trust himself. I can't trust him.
I really like them. I really like them. I really do. Like when they were in, I don't, is it Mexico where they go?
I think it was Dominican Republic.
Like in the DR, I was like, ooh, like I really like them. They were my, I think like Amy and Johnny are probably the like, they're just kind of going, you know, like there's not a whole lot. Yeah. There's not a whole lot going on, but you're like, okay, like they seem like they're saying yes to each other and there's not a whole lot of conflict. But I was like, no, AD and Clay like are my favorite couple to watch, honestly. But all of that aside, she needs to listen. She needs to listen. And I think sometimes when we're like more connected to the outcome, like I was saying before, we will not listen. We will not look, right? And again, we're having this conversation obviously to unpack the show, but also for the listener to reflect on their own lives and their own relationships and to see a part of themselves and some of these people who are brave enough to go on television and have their whole lives depicted for us, right?
Yes.
And so like to see, where am I most connected and attached to an outcome, which requires me to look away from the things that people are telling me, the behaviors that are present and available to me and right in front of me, right? It's like that's what AD is, I think, turning away from.
She definitely, this episode made it very clear that she's like, I want to get married. I came here in this process for that outcome, like, period.
Absolutely.
And Clay, she told Clay actually that she doesn't know if she can continue the relationship even if he says no at the altar. And we kind of look back through memory of Love is Blind past. There's only been a handful of couples who have like said no at the altar and then continued the relationship afterwards. Damien and Giannina, SK and Raven. And for both of those couples, you know, they dated for a little bit and then they soon broke up. The question I have for you is the no at the altar, right? If you're the one receiving the no, it feels like you're being blindsided. There's obviously a level of embarrassment, probably feels like a betrayal. Can continuing the relationship afterwards even lead to success, or is it just doomed from the no? Like, do they just need to listen to that no?
I don't think it has to be doomed from the no. I think it really depends on where they are in the relationship and what they're working on. Reality of it is to make a decision about marriage that quickly. I mean, I get that's what people come on the show to do. And so many people are like primed for that, and that's the expectation. But like, it's also so natural to be like, I would love to get to know you better and work through, you know, let's see if we can work through some of these things and then choose, right? And so I don't think it's crazy to have a no at the altar and then to also continue, although AD said, like, I'm not doing that. So she's really clear on it. And I think she wants to see Clay sort of figure it out and, you know, do what he needs to do. He's so focused on work, though. You know, he's like focused on work and providing there and succeeding in that area as opposed to succeeding and understanding himself better. And, you know, listen, obviously they have lives and they have to keep working and, you know, all of that stuff is like, they go back to, you know, the day to day. But I think, there's value to the no at the altar if both people are really invested in like, we know why we're saying no here. And we are very much in love and want to figure out the things that are not resolved yet to see if, to see if we can move forward with it. I mean, I don't recall what happened. You know, I also liked Raven on the show. It was a surprising no from SK actually at the altar. And it felt, I didn't really follow the aftermath. I I think that there were some betrayals afterwards. It was crazy. A mess. Yes, right. But, you know, that was a relationship, again, based on what we were seeing, that like made sense to keep going and keep, you know, and yeah, I mean, I think if AD and Clay were on the same page, which they're not, but if they were, you could see where a no at the altar could still allow for a deep attempt at trying to understand these parts in order to make it work.
Yeah. Speaking of nose at the altar, Sarah Ann and Jerame.
No altar in sight.
No altar, no altar in sight. No altar, no ring, no nothing. He explicitly told her that had she fought for him in the pods, that maybe he wouldn't have chosen Laura, right? One of the most manipulative statements that we've heard on the show in a while. And in a nutshell, he kind of blamed Sarah Ann for them not being together. And then she stayed out till 5 a.m. with him, and knowing that he had a fiance, she messaged him knowing that she that he had a fiance. And Jerome is just giving her every single sign that he is not a good guy. He is a bad guy, right? Or, you know, he has bad intentions for her. Let me not say he's a bad guy. He has bad intentions for her. And Sarah Ann seems kind of like blinded by her own emotions to not only see what Jerame's plans are for her and his ex-fiance, but also the perception of Sarah Ann and how off it is. We see her as like this just side piece, and that's how she's edited, right? As a side piece. Yeah. And she wants to be validated in her own emotions and her own human experience. But it's very hard for us to see that, not only because this is edited, but also because we, like, this person is always the villain, right, in the story, right? Where do we find empathy for somebody like Sarah Ann? What's the human experience of this woman?
I appreciate the question, and I think it is important because it's very easy for a show to depict a villain and to, you know, they always have to have one, you know, in every storyline. And that's a hard thing to be slotted for. And, you know, I can imagine, you know, it's like for her experience is I was deeply connected to this man in the pods, right? I was hoping for us to choose each other and to get that outcome. From, again, from her perspective, okay, he left the door open, let's say. He is not in, he doesn't want to be in the, it's not going well. He is not going to be in this relationship. The relationship has ended now. And, you know, again, maybe from her point of view is like, okay, this is a real love for me. And I had a really deep connection with this person. And I want to pursue it now. I'm not going to let the rupture and ending of another relationship be something that maybe gets in the way of the possibility of us having something. So I absolutely want to offer, you know, grace, compassion, the understanding that yes, we're not seeing everything, and you know, what might her point of view be? Again, to be the villain, to be hated, to be, you know, criticized, to, you know, to be whispered about, you know, by the other women, you know, it's like, it's a hard thing. And also she's participating, you know, and again, appreciated AD, you know, having that conversation with her and, you know, and AD was fair, right? She's like, tell me what I don't see, you know, like make it make sense, because if it makes sense, okay. Okay, if it makes sense, I am here for it. But right now it's not making sense based on, you know, what we're seeing. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, again, as the viewer, it is so easy to, like, clamp on to, like, disliking someone. And just – and also it's, like, for so many people – we've experienced that person before. You know? And so they know how to activate the viewer. They know how to turn. It's true though, right? It's like, ooh, we're going to put this person who represents someone in so many people's lives on the screen, and you're going to hate her, or you're going to, you know, you're going to have something to say about her. So, you know, again, we can hold it loosely while, you know, seeing maybe her point of view, but also seeing her contribution. Because at the time, unless we're missing some stuff, but at the time, like he was with Laura, and and she, you know, she slid in to poke around and see what was you know, is there something available? But guess what? There was something available.
There was.
Yeah, you know, true, right? It's right. Like, yeah. Right? And maybe, true. Again, right? It's yeah. Like he might have yeah. said, hey, mm. message me out. Like, let's see where it goes. You know, yeah. I don't know.
Message
what,
me yeah. out.
Wouldn't put it past out. Him, though.
You wouldn't put it past at this.
Yeah.
No, based yeah. on what mm-hmm. we're, you know, based on what we're seeing. But also, mm-hmm. I also understand the desire and need for closure conversations for people who did not pick each other, who were not mm-hmm. chosen yeah. in the pods, right? Because it's right. like, yeah. it's such a vulnerable that. Experience and you do right. open up and you do, to a certain extent, some of the people, like a Jess, for example, where mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I think that this is going in this direction. And then the pods end and you don't hear from mm-hmm. this person and you don't get to have any yeah. conversation post the one that just ends the relationship, yeah. you know? But look, Jess does it's like very different, Sarah Ann and Jess, right? It's like mm-hmm. a very respectful, right. honorable, mm-hmm. even though there might be like these moments of flirtation mm-hmm. that people have, which, you know, to some degree you kind of understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not me permitting it, but it is the human experience of right. like, mm-hmm. you were just loving on each other not that long ago.
Right. Right.
And so like, it makes sense why there's a moment of like, you know, a cute thing that like maybe mm-hmm. you said in the pod that makes sense, you know, a few weeks after, right? It's like, mm-hmm. okay, you kind of understand it, but there's a very different sort of like respectful approach, honorable yeah. approach versus sort of dishonorable.
Versus mm-hmm. not, yeah. Anne, Sarah Anne.
Mm, yeah. yeah.
She's a complicated one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, and sometimes people just want to win, you know, sometimes people just want, too. You know what I mean?
They just like the prize.
They just want to win the prize or they yeah. just want to oh, yeah. like gross. Ultimately be chosen like that. That yeah. is the yeah. like end game. And again, I'm not speaking directly about them. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's. I think to understand like what motivates our behavior. Mm. Oh, if I can get the guy or if I can get the girl, whatever, it's like, mm-hmm. then I feel validated or like the relationship is authenticated then, or, mm. you know, something, right? It's like, or if they didn't, you know, if they have a prioritization wound, I talk about this in the book, right? It's like, then we're seeking to be prioritized. We're seeking mm-hmm. to be chosen mm-hmm. by people, no matter what we have yeah. to do in mm-hmm. order to get that outcome so that it is like the illusion of a balm on our wound, right? Mm-hmm. So again, mm-hmm. we don't have enough history about all of these people mm-hmm. to fully, you know, make it make sense. But if we trust that people's behavior, no matter how shitty it is, right, mm-hmm. does make sense when we understand their story.
Yeah.
Right. Then right. we can go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a final question for you.
Okay.
So we talked a lot about villains. There's a couple villains this season. I don't know if you followed, you know, any of the drama that's happening outside of filming. It was revealed that Trevor went on Love is Blind and had a full girlfriend outside of the show. Also learn that Jerame, and I just fully say Jerame.
And you, me too.
Like, I know, at first, Justine, when you said it, I was like, LOL. And then you kept saying it. I was like, oh, maybe I don't. I'm like, I don't know the name.
That's just what we know now.
I was like, oh, Jerame. I'm out of the loop.
So we also learned he recently broke off an engagement before going on the show. And so, yeah, we're just very curious about, you know, Love is Blind is this like global phenomenon now. It yeah. seems like they now in season 6 are almost struggling to cast people with genuine intentions who aren't coming on trying to, you know, get attention or be on TV. And to go on a global show like this with ill intent and skeletons in your closet seems to me like you're obsessed with yourself and mm-hmm. you just want attention mm-hmm. no matter what, even at the risk of things tumbling out of the closet. Mm-hmm. In episode 11, Jerame was so concerned when he was talking with Laura, so concerned about having a good time at the pool party. Can't we just get along? He had no care that yeah. he just recently broke up with her, his fiance. What is it that we're seeing with Trevor and Jerame, these characters? Is it narcissism? Are we going to continue to see this as the show keeps getting bigger and bigger? What's your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point because I think at this point we do know that stuff will get revealed. So like going into it being like, there's stuff I want to hide, it's like, good luck. You know, right. It's like, yeah. Stuff does not stay hidden very no. long. So, you know, that's an interesting risk, quote unquote, mm-hmm. if you will. I don't know if it's narcissism. It can take a very long time to, you know, diagnose something like that. But what I will say is a lot of times shame, right, is a thing that, you know, you think about Jerome, I'll go with it, you know, like we're going to, you know, so disconnecting so much from it. I actually do think that there was, when he was talking to his mom, mm-hmm. I think you could kind of feel like he did, like that there was a little bit of shame in there. And
yeah,
you know,
this is and probably like, the and, same conversation they had like 2 months ago with his ex-fiance.
Yeah, right. And like, yeah. And mom, you know, mom was like, good thing tough. It wasn't me. Right.
Yeah.
She was like, she was coming for him a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
And I think this part that is ashamed of himself and the way that mm-hmm. maybe he carries himself or the choices that he made. Right. Cause she's like, it does look, even if you guys were just talking, let's say that that is true. Right. It's like, it's not respectful. It mm-hmm. doesn't look good. It's not honorable. You have a fiance mm-hmm. at home mm-hmm. and you're speaking with your ex until 5-6 in the morning, right? It's like, this is a very clear thing. It's pretty objective to the majority of humans. Like yes. some people might argue it, but like it is a fairly objective no-no, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think you could sort of sense this part that was just like, you know, mm-hmm. yeah, I did it. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes shame is the thing that, because we don't know how to be with it, then disconnects. Cool, I'm partying. I'm going to go on a, like, we're going to go play now, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like this total sort of, it like moves you so far away from actually being connected to the mm-hmm. true real emotion that somebody mm-hmm. else is experiencing, right? Actually mm-hmm. sitting down and not flipping it around or making it about right. her, which he did, mm-hmm. right? It's like mm-hmm. actually saying, I know we're not moving forward together in this relationship. I got that. But I'm sorry for making that choice. I see how hurtful and harmful that was. I should not have made that choice. Yes, I wanted to have a closure conversation with Sarah Ann, and that was important to me. And I should have communicated with you about that. That conversation should have happened during normal waking hours. That should have been an agreed, right? Like that would have been a really respectful, mm-hmm. like I'm taking ownership.
Right.
I see my part in this. I know that we're not the right fit for each other, clearly. Mm-hmm. And also, I want to honor what it was like for you as my fiance at the time to be at home wondering when I was coming home. Like, that must have been so upsetting for you, right? It's like mm-hmm. that was the conversation that was missing. And why do we miss those conversations? Often because we're trying to protect ourselves from something. And what are we trying to protect ourselves from? Well, shame, I think, is a really big one, right? Is like, mm-hmm. I am so ashamed of this. And it's not to say, of course, there are people who are like just totally void of emotion mm-hmm. and, you know, who don't see anything wrong with their behavior and their choices mm-hmm. at all. But I felt like I saw a little opening when he was having the conversation with his mom where it's like, ooh, I think he's feeling something. Like, I think there's mm-hmm. something there. And so mm-hmm. that's what makes me think it's, you know, shame for him. But again, right, it's like, why do I go and just like F off with Sarah Ann and like, you know, finish the, I mean, production did a really nice job of just like having them sail off into the sunset. You're like, wow, you guys really went with it. But, you know, it's like, what allows me to do that is I can't touch and face this part of myself that I don't know how to be with. Trevor, I mean, I don't know. I don't even have enough on him. But I mean, that's a pretty bold decision, you know, where you're like,
what was the plan?
What is up, right? It's like, you know, you just want to be famous or you just want to get the follows or whatever it is. I think it is hard to cast for these shows and yet I think you can, right? I mean, I think that there are so many people who are out there really looking for love and who are like, this sounds like an interesting way to go about it. Like, let's give it a shot. But maybe I don't know, maybe the evaluation process, like something has to shift because what makes these shows, of course the drama is interesting to so many, but what does make these shows special at times, right, is when there is a real, genuine, authentic connection where you're cheering for people, where you're like, wow, like that is amazing. And, you know, to think, obviously we'll find out here pretty soon, but, you know, I don't know that we're going to get many yeses. I don't know that we're going to get many dual yeses. My hope, and I don't even, do Jeremy and Sarah Ann go to the altar?
That would be everything, but
no, okay. I'm like, wait, do we have that? So we only have, we have Jimmy and Chelsea, Amy and Clay, and Amy and Johnny. Okay, I mean, I can see Amy and Johnny potentially saying, they're my like highest likelihood of a double yes.
I love these predictions.
AD, Clay, I think is saying no. That's what, just because he's afraid. I don't know if AD, I think AD wants to say yes. If she goes first, she's probably saying yes. Chelsea and Jimmy, they're interesting. They're the wild card because they're the, like, if you get Jimmy on the day, like on the day where he's like, I forgot everything that has happened, you know, which does happen, you know, it is possible, versus when he's like actually deeply connected to these are not, this isn't good for us. Like this is not good, you know, healthy behavior. But you know, Chelsea's really good at bringing out the stuff she needs to bring out in the moment, you know, sure, but I think Amy and Johnny, I know we didn't talk about them, but like, you know, they're sort of these like sweet, like
golden retrievers,
puppy dog. They're kind of like the little golden retrievers where there's not a lot of conflict, there's not a ton to say no to, like they're just sort of going along. Her dad gave the blessing and you know, she was looking for that. Something would have to probably spike. But okay, those are my, they're in. I've hit the buzzer.
They're in.
They're in. That's where I'm at.
Amazing. Thank you so much for Vienna, for joining us. This was so great. It was really fun having you here.
Thank you for indulging this part of me that doesn't get to talk about this that often.
Oh my God. Oh, we got to have you back for Ultimatum because that's one where we really have a lot of questions about the individuals.
it's a that first season when the one guy proposed at the first dinner and I was like, no.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
No, that's not how this is supposed to happen. No. I was like, okay, got it. So yes, I would love, I'm happy to come back, but thank you for having me.
Come back anytime. And if you can share where people can find you, you have a very popular Instagram account. You have a book that's out. Just share all the exciting things where people can stay in touch with you.
You can find me on Instagram at MindfulMFT, as in marriage, family, therapy. The book is The Origins of You, which is out anywhere that books are sold. I do the audio of it as well if you prefer to listen. And then, this keeps happening, like you mentioned before, the podcast, which is a really cool experience to chat with anonymous guests about challenges that they're facing in their relationships and life and patterns that they're facing. And we get into some really good stuff there. But yeah, you can find me New York Couples Counseling if people are looking for, I'm full, but I have a number of therapists who are wonderful, amazing clinicians. If you, Instagram is a good place to see what's happening and you can find everything in the link in bio there. So
she said, I'm booked, y'all.
I'm booked.
I'm booked up. Awesome. Thank you, Vienna.
Thank you.
We'll have you on again soon.
Definitely.
All right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.